probably do it. If anybody could do it, Mike could do it. I just want to let you know, we have restrooms through that either one of those two doors, and just go and you'll see a sign that says restrooms are just basically at the very end of that hall. And then there's restrooms, men and women's, downstairs as well. So how many are ready for God to do something amazing here today? All right. Well, we're going to open up with a couple of songs of worship. I invite you to just enter in. Don't just, I'm sure you guys are going to enter in. And we're just going to praise the Lord. Thank you.
Stand up.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemy. All my fears are gone.
Sing that again.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins.
And I'm no longer.
And I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
I'm no longer.
I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Oh. the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love, love. You rescue me so I will stand and sing. I am a child of God.
Sing that again.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love, love. You rescue me so I will stand and sing. I am a child of God.
Just sing, I am a child.
I am a child of God. For I am a child of God. 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 And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. My soul will rejoice, I am a child of God. My soul will rejoice, I am a child of God. My soul will rejoice, I am a child of God. You've ushered in the freedom of the kingdom of God. You've ushered in the freedom of the kingdom of God. You've ushered in the freedom of the kingdom of God. My soul, it will rejoice, I am a child of God. You've ushered in
who I am,
who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Thank you.
Man, it's not ever the truth. He's a good, good father. And it's just been the last couple of years that I've learned what that means. And I want to tell you that Mike's had a big part in that and has really kind of shown me a door to the Father's heart. And I'm so thankful to have him here. I'm really blessed to see as many people are here to really receive from him today. I want you to open up your hearts, open up your spirit to receive. Let's not enter into this in an intellectual way. Let's enter into this in a spiritual way. Because the words he's going to speak to you are spirit and they are life. And you discern them in the natural, they won't make sense. They will not make sense. They'll conflict all through you. But if you open up your heart and open up your spirit, you'll be able to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the body of Christ today. Because there's a sound from heaven. There's a sound that's going through our hearts. It's resonating in all of us throughout the earth. And it's drawing us to the Father. It's drawing us to a good, good Father. So without further ado, I'm really anxious to hear what Mike has for us. Praise the Lord. Mike Parsons from the United Kingdom.
Okay. All right. I need to get back to this. Awesome. Whew. Well, it's really great to be here. It's great to have some amplification. I've been speaking. I've done 17 sessions in the last 4 days with no amplification. So it's great not to be able to have to force my voice, which is excellent. Now, I'm going to have to try and use two implements to control my laptop and what's up there on the screen. So hopefully that will be there, and hopefully you'll be able to get it to transfer on the other screen. I'm going to record this for my own use. Okay. Well, it is really good to be with you. How many people weren't here last night? Okay, well, you've missed 2 hours of the first part of my testimony. I was trying to get it all in last night, and I had 90 slides to share, and I did 38, so I'm going to do a few others. So what I'm going to do next, some of you won't have any grid for, but that's okay. Just as Mike just said, open up your spirit and your heart to it, because God wants you to resonate with what he's doing. And if your mind doesn't, just forget it, okay? You know, it's like, don't worry about it, but please don't let that whole evangelical spirit thing offend you. And if you don't understand something, don't seek to disprove it. Just let it go and engage with what you do understand or what your spirit is connecting with, because your spirit will draw you to it. Okay. Okay, I have a mandate from heaven. Now, those of you who weren't there last night won't understand what that is, but God has authorized me to do some things where I go, because he's doing some things in these days where he wants to open up heaven so people can engage heaven, and he wants heaven to manifest here on earth. So, I'm going to make sure it's working. Oh, no, it's definitely not working. You should be seeing some stuff on a screen up there, which isn't working at all. So, anyway. So, one of the things God's authorized me to do is to establish agreement between heaven and earth and to open up an everlasting door of manifestation for that. Are you seeing anything? Okay, nothing. Okay. You should be seeing a PowerPoint slide, which I can see over there, but isn't working with this. So. Oh, yeah, I can see it now. Okay. It's not up there, though. So I can see that there. You just need to get it on the front screen. Oh, there we go. Yay, excellent. Okay, let's catch up with where I am. If we can get it caught up. Yeah, excellent. Okay, here we go. So basically, we can open things called everlasting doors, windows of heaven, so that there's a manifestation of the glory of God, not in the ways that generally people will expect it, but in a way of intimacy and enabling us to engage and see with what God is doing and with himself. And, you know, the song we've just sung is about deep calling to deep. And something deep in God is calling deep into our spirit to engage. So as I open up this door, I need agreement with you to do it. So if you're happy for me to open up a door, then, okay, I'll do it. And when we open up that door, we can see an engagement with the four faces of God. Now, if you're not sure what the four faces of God are, it's like the four living creatures who stand before the throne of God, who keep looking at him and become like him, and they want to come here. While we were worshiping, there was a strong presence of the lion here. And it's the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. And I'm going to just open this up and then see how you engage with that. And some of you may not engage at all, but that's okay. Some of you may feel drawn to one of those, and they're here, lion, ox, eagle, man. They'll come in that area because they come north, south, east, and west, in my understanding, not necessarily what it is actually. But there's also four angels that are associated with this time in history where there's a transformation going on within the body and the church at large to bring a whole new order of heavenly government on earth. And these four angels help people transition from an old way of engaging God, which was very much intellectual, into a personal, real engagement in the realm of the Spirit and in heaven. And these four angels are called Transformation, Winds of Change, Sound of Many Waters, and Refiner's Fire. And they're an order of angels. And so where I go, I can leave those angels behind if people want to engage them. And I can open this up for people to engage and continue engaging. So what I'm going to do is just do that. Those of you who were here last night, my spirit can be in heaven now, and it is, and I can be here talking to you. Scientifically, that's by a principle called quantum entanglement, but we won't get into that. So I want to just do that. So, Father, as I stand on the mountain of the throne in heaven, I call for an everlasting door to be open over Yakima and here today, and I call for a release of the representation of your nature, the four faces of God, the government of God, lion, ox, eagle, man, to come and just manifest their presence here. I call for those four angels to be released here. Transformation on my left side at the front, Winds of Change, my right side at the front, Sound of Many Waters, right side at the back, and Refiner's Fire, left side at the back. Now, as I do that, I just encourage you just to open your hearts. There should be some music playing, but there isn't. But just open your heart and allow your spirit to engage. There are some angels here who are here for this church, who have not yet landed, and they're observing, but they've not yet landed. So just allow your spirit, as you close your eyes, and I want to encourage you just to be open to allow that spiritual environment just to touch you. And you may sense something, you may see something, you may feel something, you may not, but the presence of God is here. He is manifesting his presence in a tangible way, and those angels are here for you to engage with. So if you need transformation in your life, then you can engage with those angels. If you need a new season to blow into your life with the breath of God, you can engage with that angel. If you need to hear the voice of God to affirm who you are as a son of God, a child of God, to affirm your destiny and the purpose and calling of God, then you can engage with that angel. If you need the fire of God to put passion in your heart, to change and burn away the chains that are tethering you and holding you down, you can engage with that angel. Because God is releasing the transformation into this time so that people can engage with him and become more like him, conformed to his image, renewed in their mind to become the sons of God that he's called each person to be, to manifest heaven on earth through their lives. So we'll just wait in the presence of God for just a few moments. Okay. Well, there was some music. I think so. I'm going to just stop it there because we're going to do plenty of practicing later on, which will help you tune into these things. But I'm going to finish off sharing my testimony from last night just so you get a fuller picture of where things are. Hebrews 12:18. Yeah. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and to a blazing fire and to a darkness and gloom and whirlwind. That was the Old Testament, and Moses went, but the people didn't. And God is wanting to turn that around so that everyone can go and touch. So we can touch. We're going to can touch, and it says in the next verse, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and myriads of angels. So for those people who are struggling or struggle with angels, this says you can touch them, you can engage with them, and there are myriads of them, 100 million in each realm of layer of, over the throne of God. And millions and billions of others. So there's a lot. And we can actually engage. I need to make sure we get this right. Okay. But you have come to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of righteous men made perfect. They're called the men in white linen or the cloud of witnesses, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. All of us can engage in all of those things at any time. We just have to learn how to engage. And I last night shared that picture last night of how I discovered that God was in me and his glory was in me and that I am a spirit, soul, body, and I have spirit senses, soul senses, body senses, and everything needs to flow from the inside out. Everything has to flow from God's presence in my spirit as a river of living water, and God's presence in my spirit connects me to heaven where that river flows from, so it can flow into the world and manifest the kingdom of God and the glory of God around me. And we're working. So that's a picture really of the whole thing in form. There's a video that goes with that, which is really cool, but I haven't got time to engage it now. So I discovered that this gateway flows through me, that there's a door in my spirit of love that I let God into, and every day I can have a flow of life flowing from the inside, transforming me, changing me, engaging me. This is not working too well, is it? There we go. So basically that opens up my life for God to bring me into a place of intimacy and relationship and a depth of his presence that I never had before, because I didn't really understand how to let God engage me, but he taught me as we went. So in that, I've discovered that that there are two main pathways that we can engage God and engage the entrance of heaven. Relationship pathway, that's intimacy and the presence of God within me that opens up heaven. And access to the very garden of my heart and the garden of God via the river of life. And a pathway of responsibility where if I yield myself to him as a living sacrifice every day, then I can engage his kingdom purposes, his thrones, his courts on the mountain of God in heaven. Now, okay. So, hopefully we're going to get this better. Well, I've abandoned that and just carry on talking. Unless it's going to be a problem. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. We'll try that. I feel like Maria would with Edda. We'll be stuck. I wonder where she went when she was stuck for 4 days. Well, actually, I know where she went. She went into the realms of heaven. Now, we can't rule in righteousness without coming from a place of rest and relationship, knowing him as Father, so that we can know him as Lord and King. So we need to be priests before we become kings. And love comes before service. Many of us get that the wrong way around, in that we're really good stewards, but not very good friends. And God wants us to enter into friendship with God, with himself. Okay. This is not going to do well. Okay, try that. So I discovered a whole pathway of relationship that you can enter into. And I discovered that actually I'm a house of God, and we're all houses of God, and God lives in us. And that's a place of intimacy and rest. I discovered that I was a mountain, so I'm a place of authority within my own spirit. And I discovered that I'm a gateway of heaven on earth, so that heaven can manifest through me and each of us as a river flows through our lives. Ezekiel 47 talks about a river flowing ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, out of depth, until it brings life wherever it goes. Wouldn't you like, wherever you went, to produce life, to turn salt water fresh, to change your environment, to create an atmosphere of love and power and the kingdom around you? Well, you can. You just have to learn to let it flow from the inside out and flow from heaven to earth through you as a gateway. Oh, close now. So I discovered that actually if I opened my first love gate to God's presence, he opened his gate to his presence. So he came into me, and I was able to go into him. And Revelation 3:20, really well-known verse, usually used for evangelism, but was actually speaking to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him. And dining was always an intimate place. Jesus dined with his disciples, and it was a place where they shared life. And that was the illustration of dining together, a sharing of life. But then it actually says something else. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And this isn't something you do after you die. This is something you do now. This is open for you now. So if you open your life and open your heart and open your spirit to the presence of God to come, then he opens his life and spirit for you to come into the realm of heaven and take a place of authority. So Revelation 4:1 follows immediately. After these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the sound of the trumpet speaking we said, come up here. And I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the Spirit. So up to this point, John in Revelation had been looking into heaven. So he had a vision of heaven. And that vision was amazing. But now he was invited to step into heaven. And it became very much different after that. Because he was there and trying, I think, to describe as best as he could what he was seeing in the language that he had to express it in. So we're all invited to come into the realm of the Spirit and to engage. So I discovered Eden, the garden of God, in heaven. I discovered that was a source of life on that pathway of relationship. You know, I discovered the river of life, and it led me to pools of revelation and discovery, an amazing, amazing experience. I discovered waterfalls where deep calls to deep. So many things in the realms of Eden that God wants us to experience, not just read about in the Bible, but actually personally experience. So, where we are? Okay, yeah. So I actually went to the tree of life and ate some of its fruit, and I took some of its scrolls, which have empowered and given me vision in my life, because it's a real place. It was open to Adam and Eve, and it's open to us. We just have to learn to go there. I discovered those leaves, and they're an amazing source of revelation. Scrolls of God. What you do with scrolls, when you get a scroll, is to eat it. Just like Ezekiel was told to do. Take and eat this scroll. So you place it within your innermost being, and it brings revelation and releases that into your life. And I discovered the throne of grace was not something that I went to when I prayed, in theory, but it's an actual place that you can go to in practice. And you can engage God on the throne of grace, where we rest and he works. Whereas most of the time we're working and we get worn out and weary. Whereas if we rest in him, he helps. In other words, he works on our behalf. Great place to go. You know, I saw my whole scroll of destiny and what my life was. You read about that scroll in Psalm 139. In the scroll of the book, Jesus said, it's written of me to do your will. And in Psalm 39, it says there is a book that's been written with all the things that are ordained for us to do the will of God. And it also talks about how vast are the sum of the thoughts that God has for me. And that's an amazing to know God's thoughts and the revelation of that. So I encountered the judgment seat. Now, I'm not going to share too many of the intimacies of the experiences today because I will be here all day. And I did that last night and went on for 2 hours. So I'm going to just touch a few of them. And this is one of the most important ones. I had engaged the Father, and I was in a place of intimacy with God, and I was now open to something which I then was called to experience. So one of the seven spirits of God, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, took me to this place, and it was like, all I can describe it was the mouth of a lion. It was just like dark. And I'm standing on the outside feeling really intimidated because it was like, whoa, what is this? But I was given a scroll, and I was shown the scroll of my life, and I went into this place, and I came before the fire of God. You know, it says God is a consuming fire. And I stood before the fire of God. And his eyes of fire looked right through me. But I didn't feel any way guilt, shame, or condemnation, or any of those things. Just a deep sense of God's desire that my life will be transformed. And so he opened the scroll. You know, it says, worthy is the lion of the tribe of Judah to open the scroll. So this was sealed front and back, and he opened the scroll, and my whole life flashed before my eyes. And you know what I saw? Some gold, silver, and precious stones on that scroll. And there were little moments where I had done everything God had wanted me to do, and and I felt the pleasure of his heart. And this was preparing me for the wood, hay, and stubble, what I was now going to see. So it was like God's pleasure was just amazing. But when I continued in this, all the wood, hay, and stubble became clear, which were not sin, because sin's dealt with on the cross. This was all the things I'd done in my life out of the wrong motive to serve him. And there were many, many things. And I was saddened. You know, I felt sadness. But you know what he did? He just burnt them all up. And he opened my scroll so that my scroll could be like my destiny, so that they match. So he got rid of all the rubbish, and he said, now your life can begin to unveil and be what I called you to be and who you are. You know, and I walked out of there, I backed out of there, and I got outside, and I thought, what about the other side of the scroll? So I went back in. You know, now I wasn't in total fear and trembling like I was before, but I went back in, and it opened up, and it was all the regrets, all the opportunities I'd missed, all the things that God had called me to do and was speaking to me, but I didn't listen. And again, there were some moments where there were gold, silver, and precious stone there, the things where I had heard God and been obedient. You know, I shared my first vision last night when I ate that egg sandwich. That was there as a precious moment where God's pleasure was there. But there were so many other things where I just missed. I was too busy, I didn't hear, I didn't tune in, whatever. Now, none of this was, again, guilt, shame, and condemnation. It was just God's desire to say, all that can be consumed by my fire, and you can have a new beginning. And you know, we get new beginnings every day. You know, God's fresh mercies every day, and God wants us to embrace our destiny every day. So this was a really, you know, powerful encounter. You know, and I've taken some people back there in encounters and activations. And it just, the fire of God's presence is not something to be feared. It's something to be embraced because it's a purifying, refining fire. You know, God is a God of love. He's always smiling. He's always in a good mood. Always. Many of us don't see him in a good mood like that. We think he's ready to tell us off because that's what we've experienced in the earthly realm. He never tells us off. He sometimes corrects us and sometimes trains us, but he never tells us off because he loves us. You know, he disciplines us because he loves us. And discipline isn't punishment. It's just training to get it better. You know, and he wants us to fulfill everything. So I went from that place and I went into the garden of God. I walked out of that place feeling lighter than I'd ever done in my whole life. Just all completely unburdened. And I went to this waterfall and I'm looking down. I can't see the bottom. It's so high. And I jump off. Now, I'd been up a few waterfalls by this, so it didn't faze me. And I floated down into this pool in the garden of God. And it was an amazing pool. And I ended up being in a place where I was totally at peace and totally at rest. You know, and I heard the sound of creation calling me. It's all I can describe it as. I heard this sound, and it was calling me into intimacy, calling me to answer creation's groan. And I felt how God, I don't know, something how God felt about his created order and how it was and how he had created it to be and how he wanted it to be restored. You know, and it really inspired me to engage and go further. Oops. Okay. Now I discovered this wonderful pool in the Father's heart and in his garden. And I discovered a treasure chest. Now, some things are very symbolic in the heaven. There are things that relate to us, and this was treasure. So I went and in this pool, and you know, you can swim underwater in heaven because it's life. There's no death. River, the water flows through you. Like when you're in the river of life, it just flows through you, and you flow with it, and you become one with it. So I was in this pool, and I went to the bottom of this pool, and I found this chest. And I opened it, and there were gold coins. And I took a coin, and I put it inside. And it was one of the vast sum of God's thoughts. And it was the exact thought that I needed at that point in my life. You know, there were some things going on, and this was the thought that actually I really needed. And God always knows what we need. You know, he always knows where we are. He's completely aware of everything about us, and he loves us, and he wants us to come into the revelation of that. So I discovered, you know, I had access into the Father's heart. You know, and I've been since then back into eternity. We were talking about this morning. And there's a place where God birthed us in his heart, where his creative thoughts about who we were inspired us to be. And that is our destiny was formed there. And that destiny is the dreams of our heart that God reveals. And he wants to reveal how he framed us and how he formed us and what we were formed for in relationship with him. And you can actually go there and experience it. Ooh, that was a good one. Anyway, I discovered I was able to cultivate the garden of my heart, you know, and tend it and look after it, just like Adam and Eve were told to in their own garden, to cultivate it. So I discovered I could do that. I could plant seeds of my testimony and eat the fruit of my encounters to have continual engagement with God, you know, and I learned how to do that. I discovered I could give that fruit away to others, which is what I do in these sessions. I want to give the fruit of my testimony so people can use that testimony as a doorway to go into their own personal engagements with God, the way God has called you to engage. So I discovered that the river of life flowed into the garden of my heart and then was supposed to, as it did in God's garden with Adam and Eve, to then go out and water the world, you know, and that's God's desire for us. Let's see where we are. Okay. Now, this is where I discovered where the green pasture was of Psalm 23. You know, there's a green pasture and a quiet water in the garden of my heart that I can go and fellowship with him. And he sets a tablecloth before me in the presence of my enemies and feeds me with his revelation and truth, which is an amazing thing. And so I engaged there and learned how to engage him. And it's a place of restoration for your soul. No, he restores your soul. You don't have to restore it yourself. You just have to give him the raw material, which is your presence. And he will engage you in intimacy. So I discovered that secret place of intimacy where I could meet with him in my own heart. And it was an amazing change in my life that was brought about. So I discovered I had the creative ability of God. I'm not really doing too well with this, am I? Is it all right if I just abandon that and just speak? Because it's like, it's driving me mad. I mean, the guy upstairs could actually do it himself if he could, but if he can follow along. Anyway, I discovered that I had creative ability to transform my heart. You know, I learned to tend and cultivate it, to speak it into being, because God speaks things and he creates things. We're made in his image to speak and create. And we're going to learn to do that on a scale where we'll terraform things, actually, in this planet, to bring this planet back into its original place. Because God has given us the responsibility for this world and this universe, cosmos, and he's looking for us to come in sonship so we can do it. Anyway, I discovered that this river was flowing through the garden of my heart and would water the world around me, and it was the most amazing thing. And it called me deeper and deeper, deeper into a relationship. You know, I found a power in communion. Taking communion was always something I really struggled with. It's just I never could find a way that made sense to me. You know, we used to do it, you know, in different ways in our church, and it never really got to the point where I understood it. I understood biblically what it was supposed to do, but I never experienced it. In this, I found a reality in taking communion where you're actually taking in the body and blood of Jesus to bring transformation and conformation to his image. And that DNA he carries changes us to bring us into the image of Christ and transforms us and actually can enable us to live forever. Now, people think, ooh, how can I live forever? Well, Jesus did say so in John 6. He said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will live forever. You will not die. So we can actually take on the life of God and live to fulfill everything that we've got in life and then walk like Enoch in the realms of heaven and not die. It's God's desire for us. You know, I take communion several times every day, and it is changing and transforming my DNA and bringing health and wholeness and blessing, transformation, and God wants us to engage that. Whole other story. But I discovered that there are places of intimacy with my own heart called the four chambers, which are represented by the garden and the dance floor where you engage with the DNA of God, and the soaking room, like Esther was in the soaking room in preparation for the king, where the oils and fragrances and frequencies of light and sound can come around us and transform us. I found the bridal chamber where we become joined to the Lord and one with him. Amazing intimacy. You know, human beings is our identity, not human doings. You know, most of us get our identity from what we do. God wants us to get our identity from who we are in relationship with him. You know, knowledge apart from God is humanism. And that's what the enemy offered Adam and Eve. And they chose knowledge apart from God. God wants knowledge, but with God, revelation. So we are living beings created with the breath of God. And God's desire is that we would become spirit beings because we are spirit. God created us spirit. And we can become spirit beings before we engage in spiritual doings. Because it's so often we get caught up in doing, 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 doing. And he wants us to embrace being. You know, so relationship always comes before responsibility. You know, so I discovered the pathway of responsibility. I followed that path by being invited to come into heaven, and I discovered Zion, the mountain of God. You know, I discovered the realm of his kingdom rule. You know, I discovered that I had a mountain and a throne in heaven. I mean, I didn't know any of this stuff. I'm like, you know, it's just this total revelation to me. But I get taken there and shown this mountain, and I was shown all our church mountains and the authority that was there. You know, and I had all these encounters in heaven that I didn't know where they were. They were just experiences, encounters. It's like it wasn't until afterwards where I went back to them that I sort of mapped them out. And I learned where they were in the realm of heaven and the different realms of heaven and sort of mapped out heaven so I could keep going back there. Because then it became a pathway that I could walk every day. Now it's such a pathway in me that I only have to think about it and I can go to any place that I've been before. But it took quite a while. to develop that. If you're treading down a path in a forest trail, you have to do it day after day after day until it becomes a path that you can follow. And once you've followed that path, you don't have to think about it anymore. You know where things are. Because our mind is designed to store things that have an importance. So if you do things once or twice, your mind thinks, oh, that's not important. So it shreds the information. But if you do things over and over and over again, your mind actually forms a neural pathway to that and it's stored. And then you can just do it. And when we engage in heaven and we engage over and over, it becomes a pathway which is stored and we can just access it, which is, you know, an amazing thing. And, you know, I have an illustration that this, I mean, if you're driving somewhere and you use a sat-nav to get there because you don't know where you're going, you'll use that sat-nav. The next time, you may use the sat-nav again if it's a complicated route. But by the third time, you're probably getting it. After that, you don't use a sat-nav. You just drive. And you don't even really think about even where you're going. You just go. Same thing. It's like when you're learning to drive, you think about everything. You're taught to think about mirrors. You know, in our country, we have shift sticks. So you talk about what gear you're in. You know, how to use the clutch, how to use the brake, how to use the gas pedal. You know, you're taught all those things and your awareness of the road. But then after you've passed your driving test and then you're driving on your own, you don't think about, well, I'm going to get in the car. I need to put the key in the lock. I need to turn the key. I need to do this. You just do it. And it's the same with this with God. As we develop our relationship with God in such a way that we continually walk the same path, practice, 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 because we need to train our senses, according to Hebrews 5:14, through practice to discern, then it becomes a pathway that you can just walk on. So now all these things are places I can just go to in an instant because my spirit's there. So I discovered that I had seven mountains, seven spheres of authority that God had given me in my life to administer for him. And all of us do. I discovered how to administrate the kingdom. You know, the kingdom of God is rule. You know, in our country, we understand that because we've got a king or a queen. You know, we have monarchy, so we understand what it is to have the right to rule and to reign. And the kingdom is the place where the king rules. So we have, it says in Luke 17:21, the kingdom within us. So that's that area where God's presence is in us so that he can rule in us. And if it's a tiny little area, and we haven't let him fill our spirit, soul, and body and around us, then the rule of God is very limited. But when we let him loose so that he's flowing through us, that rule can be powerful. So when people came to Jesus, they felt that rule because what did he say? The kingdom is at hand. It's right here. And some people touched the hem of his garment and they were healed. And some people touched him and he felt power coming from him to heal them. Peter's shadow healed people because the glory of God was radiating around him and touched them and healed them. So this is a very practical thing. The kingdom of God is about governorship, rulership. So I discovered some places of legislation in the realms of heaven. Yeah. Okay. Looks like we may have caught up with this. I'm not sure. No, I can't see anyway. Anyway, so I discovered these places. I discovered there are courts in heaven, places of judicial authority that you can go to and you can get court verdicts. See, most of our spiritual warfare that we call is about trying to win a battle. When you get a verdict from the judge that gives you authority that you've already won the battle, then all you have to do is exercise it. A court, see, removes the legal right of somebody and gives someone else legal rights. And when you know your legal rights, your authority, then you can exercise that authority. So there's a whole court system of heaven that you can learn. You know, I discovered that God has many thrones on his throne room, in his temple, on the ancient seat of the Ancient of Days. He's got many thrones in heaven. There's a place in heaven called Wisdom's Heights where we meet with wisdom. And there are pillars of wisdom there, and there are doors, and there are pathways. And there's the way, and there's the access point into the mountain of God. Amazing, amazing place. I love going there because wisdom calls to the Son of Men to come so she can teach us how to rule as kings, princes, and nobles. Read it in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 is an amazing chapter. Absolutely amazing chapter. I discovered the firestones that I talked about last night with my first heavenly encounter. I've been back there many times. The deepest experiences that I've had in heaven. And I found that also there are houses in heaven, places of government that you can engage. So from Wisdom's Heights, I discovered there are very places you can go. You can go under the earth to a place called Satan's Trophy Room and get back everything that's been stolen to you. You know, we used to sing a Pentecostal song years ago called "I Went to the Enemy's Camp and I Got Back What Was Stolen From Me." You know, and actually we can actually go. There's a place that you can go and you can receive back that which was stolen and that which was stolen and robbed from your heritage and your family line. It's an amazing place. Now, you need pretty much a mandate to go there, but you can. You can go into the atmosphere of the earth and you can actually see all the principalities and powers and all that stuff. But you don't try and deal with them from down here. You deal with them from above when you're over them because they're under your feet. So we need to access heaven so they're under our feet. Then we don't have to bother with them. We just send angels and they deal with it. You know, I don't have to open up a door over this place. The angels do that. That's their role. So in the realms of heaven, there is just so much that we can engage. You know, I've been out into the stars and seen stars being birthed and amazing things. And, you know, I know that I'm a forerunner of these things so that other people can do it. You know, so there's a lot. You know, one of the things I was taught to do in the realms of heaven was to present myself as a living sacrifice every day. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So that by being a living sacrifice, I can find out what his will is for me today. And then I can outwork that will and bring God's kingdom, his rule, from heaven to earth. So I was taught how to engage the ark of God's presence. You know, how to engage his presence in the four faces of God. To engage with what was in the ark, the food, the manna. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. So I want to find out what my food should be for the day and what the will of God is for me every day. I found the revelation of the structures of heaven and so many things, you know. And I discovered the angelic realm. Now, the angelic realm is something that in a lot of churches there's a big problem with because we're taught that it's wrong to engage angels. Well, if that was the case, then most of the people in Acts got it wrong because Paul and Peter and they all engaged the angels. You know, so it was so familiar, the angelic realm, to them that when Peter turned up at the door of the house having been set free by an angel, the girl said, oh, it must be his angel. So they even saw that sometimes our angels can look like us. You know, and there are stories, and there's a story of a guy who was supposed to be preaching at a conference, and he was held up and couldn't get there, and he was hours away, so he phoned ahead, said, look, I won't be able to get there. You know, I was really hoping I was. He said, well, what do you mean? You're already here. You're on the stage. You're speaking. I'll bet that angel gave him a fantastic sermon. But these things are happening all over the world. You know, it's like we can see that this realm of heaven and earth, the veil is torn, and we're engaging it, you know. So I met my own two angels, my personal angels. I've learned to work with them and cooperate with them because they're ministering spirits on my behalf because I'm an heir of salvation. It's a lot of stuff about angels in the beginning of the Hebrews. You know, I met our church angels and got to engage with them, and, you know, they do a lot of stuff for us. There are gathering angels that kept turning up in our meetings. They wanted to gather and remove stumbling blocks and lawlessness from our lives. You can read about them in Matthew 13. The seraphim, burning ones, you know, the ones that Isaiah met when he went before the temple and the things, and he was like, woe is me, I'm undone. You know, in the presence of God, you're undone. But the coal was taken from the altar by the seraphim and purged his heart. And literally at the end of it, he said, here am I, send me. And God wants us to be able to experience that. So we're every day can say, here am I, send me. You know, so I can go and fulfill the purpose of God. There are the Kashmelim, which are the shining ones. They're involved worship. I mean, they were there last night, swirling around us. You know, they love worship. They love opening up worship for us. And they're always drawn and attracted to worship. Now, one day I was preaching, and I was sort of sat like I do like this. I like sitting down. And I was at the corner of my eye, I saw this swirling color. Now, I'm sort of getting slightly distracted because it starts moving. And it moved right across. And I'm getting really distracted, but I carry on preaching until it got to the point where this color, and this was these angels, stood right in front of me, in front of the screen, so I couldn't see my screen. This is when my eyes open. You know, other people weren't aware. There were some of them were sensing something. Some of them saw I was actually really distracted because I couldn't see and I was in this place. And then they sort of moved off. And I was like, afterwards, I went to God and said, what was all that about? You know, so that really wasn't fair. You know, so I was trying to give you the word and it's like, these angels got in the way. He said, well, you asked to see them. You need to be ready to be open for when these things are more revealed. So I thought, oh, okay, we're sorry. You know, there are breakthrough angels that come, you know, that break open our lives, break open situations, territories for God. And there's a whole canopy of angels, 10 layers of different orders of angels with 100 million in each, all surrounding the throne of God. And when they meet with us and they recognize the throne of God in us, they come around us. You know, and you sense them sometimes. You know, and what we need to do is learn to tune into them and recognize that they're around for a purpose to help us in what we're doing for God. Now, there's a whole angelic court where you can go and present your scroll and your mandate, and they volunteer to be involved. You know, it's when you can read about it in the Bible. All this stuff's in the Bible. You know, I'm not saying anything isn't biblical. I'm just not giving you all the verses for it. But there was an occasion where, I think it's in Kings, where God was saying in his assembly, in his court, we're going to deal with this guy Ahab. And he was talking to the angelic court and the angels, and basically one of them basically volunteered. He goes, I'll go. And God does that. You know, that's a real place. It wasn't just written. It was a real place. There are real courts, and there are real angels that actually volunteer to get involved with us for our destiny. This, the church has never really taught it. In fact, probably the opposite. It's encouraged us not to do that. Now, I can see angelic portals now and hear angelic sounds, and, you know, I can switch it on and look into the room and see what was there. Earlier on, I was looking and seeing these angels that here were hovering and looking, waiting to land and do some stuff. Now, I met the seven spirits of God, which are designed to train us and tutor us in our position of government. Men in white linen. You know, I had an amazing encounter with Jacob. I was in heaven. I was wandering around somewhere, and Jacob came, you know, and, you know, people, how can you talk to those people like that? Well, they're there in heaven. They're the cloud of witnesses. They're alive. They're not dead. Their spirits are there, made perfect, which is what we read earlier in Hebrews 12. You can touch them. You can engage with them. They're there because they invest in us, because they want to see us fulfill the fullness where they died. They died in faith, not having seen the fulfillment of the promises, as many did, as it talks about in Hebrews 11. But actually now they're investing. They want to engage. You know, so I met this guy, Jacob. He turned up, and it's like, you know, he told me to go and read his life. He told me to read about, you know, in Genesis 28 about Bethel, door open in heaven, ladder going from heaven, earth to heaven, not the other way around. Started on the earth, went up to heaven. Angels coming up and down, open heaven. Jacob's response was, this is no more than the house of God and a gateway of heaven. You know, and actually now we are the house of God and the gateway of heaven. And we have over us an open heaven. You know, I go into lots of places, and it's people say, well, what do you sense in the atmosphere? I said, not a lot, because I live under an open heaven. You know, and I'm not really interested in what's going on in the atmosphere. I'm just interested in what God's doing and what the angelic realm is doing around me, because I'm never under any of those things. I'm always over them. My spirit's always there. So I don't worry, you know. So I met Jacob, and he told me about this. Then I met him again. You know, I met him again, and he was digging a hole with a spade and a shovel. And he was like, oh, what are you doing? Well, I'm digging a well. So I'm like thinking, I know Abraham dug some wells, and I know Isaac dug some wells and re-dug some of, I didn't really realize that you dug a well, Jacob. So he actually said, well, go and find out, you know, as he does, or do. So I did. I went and looked, and I thought, where's Jacob's well? Well, actually, when you look at Jesus, who went to Samaria, the well of Sychar, that was Jacob's well. And Jacob's well is a source of salvation that brings salvation to communities. And God is going to open up Jacob's wells all over when we're living under an open heaven, and we're going to see communities transformed just like that was. Because that woman who came to Jesus at the well, and where Jesus told her life, she went back and told everything, and they all came to see Jesus. And we're going to see people who have experiences of God like that, who are going to open up regions and territories because they're going to have such a personal encounter with Jesus when they're living under an open heaven and we're doing this. So I met lots of others, Enoch and Melchizedek and Adam. I was really fascinated with Adam. I wanted to go back and see what he did and how it worked, you know. So I went back and asked him a load of things. Really interesting. I haven't got time to tell you. Now, one of the things I really did, and this is a little testimony, which is a powerful one for me. I was with Jesus one day in heaven, and we're talking, and he says, I want to show you somewhere. So he took me to this place. It was like a different dimension. You know, I'm not sure where it is, but it's like a different dimension. And there were just millions and millions of children, all at various ages and stages, running around. There was a big playground. There was loads of angels there. And I'm like, wow, look at this place. You know, and then these two little children came up to me, and immediately I know who they are. And they're my grandchildren, because my daughter had two miscarriages. And I'm sort of, and they're like looking at me. They know me. I know them. I know their names. I know their characters. I mean, it was just such an amazing encounter. But I wonder, well, you know, what's it for? I mean, I was in tears. I mean, I was crying. It was like, wow, this is amazing. You know, so I came, later on after the encounter, I spoke to my wife. I said, oh, I had this really strange encounter. And she said, well, funny you should say that, because, you know, our daughter, she said, well, they're trying to diagnose her with postnatal depression, because she lost a child and then had one. And then she was going to have twins, and she lost one of the twins and still had the other twin. So she never really dealt with anything emotionally. She just carried on. But it got to a point after the second child, they were saying, well, she was sort of feeling really, really heavy and sort of stuff. So I thought, okay, I need to talk to her. So I sort of went to talk to her. Now, you know, she hasn't got a grid for most of this stuff. So I sort of said to her, look, you might think this is going to be really weird, but I was in heaven the other day and I actually saw the two children. And so she started to cry. Well, I start to cry even when I think about it. And as a result of that, I said, look, they're there. They've got their own characters. They've got their own names, but you need to name them. And you need to say goodbye. And you need to close this. And so she did. She went home, talked to her husband, and they did. And the whole thing lifted right off her. You know, she's never had another problem, you know. So sometimes these things are really practical. You know, it was a weird experience, but God knew what he was doing. He took me there for a reason. You know, and I've been back a few times to other places to engage people. You know, it's not something I do a lot, but sometimes God inspires me to do it because it helps some people when they know things are going on there and they're okay. So I engage in the realms of heaven every day. You know, I've spent time engaging the court systems of heaven to learn how to do it, to learn the protocols. Because, you know, just like in any court system, there's protocols. You need to understand how it works. You know, so I keep going back, finding out more. If I don't know, I'll go and ask Wisdom, and she comes and helps. She showed me some of the protocols of heaven. You know, I've learned to engage, to get sort of mandates every day so I can administer the kingdom. You know, but it always comes out of relationship. Relationship's always first. First love, opening my first love gate, embracing God and his presence, Father, Son, and Spirit, is always first. You know, but these things have grown and developed. Now, what I do is I journal everything, and I'd encourage you to do the same. You know, journal everything. Just write everything down, because when you journal it, you can then go back to it. See, a lot of these encounters that I initially had, I didn't understand where they were or what they were for. It was just like, wow. And most of the time, I was just like, whoa. And I couldn't even take it all in. It was so amazing. But I wrote it down. You know, my first heavenly encounter took me 4 hours to write out, because time up there is different from down here. You know, my hand was cramped at the end of it, because at that point, I thought, if I don't get it down, I'm going to forget it. And I was like, you know, and afterwards, I got a lot more relaxed, because I know that you remember what you need to remember. And I sort of, but I still journal everything every day. And now I review it, I go back, and then I start to meditate in it, think about it again, and it opens the door to go back. And then the next time you go back, you tend to get more. You see things better. You get an understanding. And then you can ask God questions. You know, what was this for? You know, what were you doing when you did that? What were you doing when this throne was operating? Or that court? And who were those guys at that big bench at that court? You know, you talk and you ask questions, and he starts to give you answers because he wants to reveal and open these things up. So the word that you write and you go back into, that testimony, because that's what it is, becomes a doorway to future experiences and an anchor, because you memorize it and it's stored because you keep going back. because that's what gets done, stored in your minds. Now, some of these encounters have been completely involuntary. I've just been in the presence of God, and God's taken me somewhere that I've never been before. And that's opened up another realm that I've got to then develop as part of my pathway. Most of the time, they're very deliberate by choice, because I've learned to do this. I can access this realm because it's open. Heaven's open and the veil is torn, and we've been invited to enter. So I can step in and I can engage because I've learned how to do it. And everybody can do this by faith. People say to me, well, how do you do it? I say, well, you do it by faith, because God always rewards faith. And without faith, you can't do anything that's going to please God. So God just wants you to faith. And what's faith? Well, faith says, well, I believe what God says, and I act on it. So if faith says, and the word says, that heaven's open and I'm invited to come, then by faith I accept and believe heaven's open and I'm going to step in. Simply like that. But as you do that, then it begins to open up. And as you learn to activate the eyes of your heart and your imagination, and we're going to do some exercises, hopefully, if I can get this thing working, so that we can do that. You know, so this is now a lifestyle for me. It's not just experiences. I don't chase experiences. I chase a person. I want God. I want intimacy with God. I want to know him. I want revelation of him, which is deeper and deeper and deeper. So the experiences are just what they are, but the experiences are about engaging the person. And engaging the person and his purposes, that's what I long for. And I've learned to enter rest, you know, and do it from a place of rest and oneness with him, becoming one spirit, joined so that my spirit and his spirit can fill my soul and my body, because my spirit is dimensional. It's bigger on the inside than it is out. We have a program in our country called Doctor Who, and he's got something called the TARDIS. And the TARDIS looks like this little box, but when you go into it, it's like, whoa. Well, that's what our spirit's like. It may be on the inside of us, but it's bigger than we are. And it can expand and grow and come around us. And so the whole realm of heaven's like that. Once you step into it, it just opens up. So I've opened my eyes, the eyes of my heart, to see with my imagination. I can see as pictures. But also I've opened the eyes of my spirit so I can actually see. And I can do that with my eyes open. Because my spirit now tells me what's going on in the realm of the spirit as a flow of information that goes into my mind and I understand it. So I can turn it on and off because I've learned doing that. I got really distracted when I couldn't turn it off, because you can see all this stuff going on around people and it's like, whoa, you know. And it's like, I don't want to look into people's hearts. It's like, that's God's business and theirs, you know. But I could. And it was like, so I thought, God, show me how to switch this on and off. But I learned, you know. So I've gone deeper and deeper with all these experiences, so I can access the realm of heaven to establish the kingdom of God, to see God's kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that, Matthew 6:10, we get to do the as it is in heaven. You know, it's not just God doing it. We're joint heirs with him. He wants us to do it. But there's a process of maturity to develop that authority. You know, God is not going to give a child a machine gun, but he may give an adult one when they're used to how to use it. So when we get familiar with how to move in the kingdom, greater authority begins to manifest, and we learn how to do these things. There's a really good scripture that describes this process. It's Zechariah 3:7. The Lord says, the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will perform my laws, then you will govern my house, and you will have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. And he was talking to Joshua, the high priest of Israel, who was in heaven, standing in a courtroom. So we have this same process that we can develop. We can learn to walk in his ways here as a good servant and faithful steward, but then he calls us into friendship, intimacy. He reveals himself so that we can learn to outwork the principles of his kingdom in the realm of heaven, and then to start to rule, to govern the house. My house, my body, soul, spirit, my life, but also the house of God and wider things. And then we can start to operate in the courts of heaven. But that process brings us maturity. Ephesians 1:3 says this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, and that word blessed means to empower, to prosper, to the highest level, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing that's necessary for us to succeed in what he's called us to do in our life is available to us. Where? In the heavenly places. So I have to learn to be in Christ, to step into those heavenly places, to get hold of those spiritual blessings. So that those spiritual blessings don't remain in the heavenly places, they come onto the earth, in my life and around my life and through my life. Now, wonderfully, according to Hebrews 2:6, God has raised us up with him and has seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ, Jesus. So we have access. We have a place where we're seated in authority in the heavenly places. We just have to learn to engage it. Because everything's dependent on us fulfilling God's purposes in our lives and our destiny. Because he's entrusted this universe to us. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs of God, and fellow or co or joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. Suffering is not sickness and all that sort of stuff. Suffering is our daily choice to say, I'm going to follow God and not myself. Daily taking up the cross and following him. Choosing, not my will, but yours be done. So that we can be heirs of God. Think about what that is. What does God own? What has he created? Everything. And we're an heir and a joint heir with Christ to all that he's created and everything that he is. He's made it available to us. And then Romans 8:19 says this, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. That creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption. And I love this word. Into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. What is the freedom of the glory that you carry that will set free the whole of the created order because you've been revealed as a son of God on the earth, and God wants to show off his sons. You know, parents like to show off their children, and it's like God wants to show you off to the created order, because who is going to make known the manifold wisdom and grace of God? The church. Not the institutional structure, but the people of God gathered. Now, I tend not even to use church nowadays because it's such a dirty word. It's like I use ecclesia, because ecclesia actually is the word that describes what a gathering of people with the purpose of God in their hearts is about, in relationship, outworking the purpose, because we have to be revealed as sons to release the glory of God that we carry to set free the whole of creation. That's the process that God wants to bring us into, maturity, so that we become that joint heir, so we understand lordship and kingship and sonship in the realms of heaven, so we access the thrones of heaven, the courts of heaven. Genesis 1:28 was what God gave a mandate to mankind through Adam. God blessed them, again, empowered them to succeed, and he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. So there was obviously something there to overcome, and rule. Rule over it. That is still our mandate. God is still calling us to do that. We just have to learn how to do it in his kingdom, through his way, so that we can fulfill the purposes of God. I'll leave it there, okay? We'll finish there for this session. All right. I was going to show you some more pictures, but as it's not working, it's like, let's just see if we can sort it out in a minute. So we'll take a 10-minute break. So I want lots to show you and talk to you about, and we want to do some practice and engagement. So take a 10-minute break, and then we'll see if we can fit in another session. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
go for round two, or the second portion of round one, or whatever we may call it. But if you'll have a seat, we're going to continue to open our hearts.
Amen. Okay. Excellent. I mean, I would love to be here for longer, and then I could sort of built up. I mean, the previous place I've just been for 4 days, you know, I did 17 sessions that just built this up from the beginning and took it right until everyone was in heaven getting their mountains and thrones and mantles. So I'm sort of just trying to give you a dipping a little bit of some stuff so that you can sort of then look to pursue stuff self. But so I'm just trying to cram in a few things. So forgive me if it's sort of is a bit intense. Okay. Right, well, I want to look at practicing, how we actually practice to do some of these things. Evangelicalism has a 500-year history of making Christianity a mainly rational and theological understanding about God, rather than a personal relationship and experiencing of him. A living encounter with a living God beats a theology about him every time. But most of us have had the theology without the experience. And God wants us to have the experience. So he's moving us forward into those experiences. So I want to think, sometimes when you get into this realm, you'll hear words that may feel negative, like mystic or mystical. Because a lot of people out there are using those words, I think sometimes to provoke the religious system. But, you know, but actually, it can be unhelpful as well as helpful. Because when you think of mystic and mystical, you get this sort of weird picture. But in reality, this is a definition of mystic. A person who tries to gain religious or spiritual knowledge through prayer and deep thought. Well, that's not so bad, is it? You know, that's just the definition I found in a dictionary. Then a person who claims to attain or believes in the possibility of attaining insight into the mysteries transcending ordinary human knowledge as direct communication with God. Well, isn't that what we all want? Direct communication with God? So, you know, I didn't really feel it was too big a deal. So a mystic is someone who has direct experience with God. Well, that to me is just what every one of us wants. Now, this is a really nice statement. Many mystics are broad-thinking, intelligent, have a good grasp of the concepts of infinity and transcendence. And I class myself in that category. So, this is a little statement. Imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited to all we now know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all that there will ever be to know and understand. Now, you'd be surprised who wrote that. Albert Einstein, who did not get majority of his theories by standing in front of a blackboard. His theory of relativity, this sort of E equals MC squared and all that sort of stuff, it says he was lying in a meadow and he felt the thoughts of God dance in his mind. Yeah, that's it. You know, another one from Einstein. The intuitive mind is a sacred gift. The rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift. You know, another one. This Einstein is a famous picture. Logic will get you from A to B, but imagination will take you everywhere. You know, so imagination is really, really important. It's God's language. He speaks as a flow of thoughts, pictures, words, impressions, perception on the screen of our imagination. Everything happens in your head. You just got to get over that. Everything happens in your head. I'm seeing you now in my head. I'm hearing me speak in my head. I can imagine in my head. My spirit can communicate to me in my head. Doesn't make it any less real. Are you real or not real? Just because you're in my head. So we just have to get over some of the things that are in the way. You see, received are things we can receive and have things interpreted in our brains. We've learned all the spatial things. You know, we've learned how to see and hear and touch and all those things. I'm touching this table. Nerves in my fingers are sending information to my brain to say it's sort of smooth and hard. I learned all that. I need to learn to do exactly the same again with all the spiritual senses. Because no one taught me to do any of those. In fact, as a child, I had some of them. And then I went to school and it got rationally taught out of me. You know, so we need to get it back. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary or temporal, what is unseen is eternal. So what do you want to look at? Things that are just meaningless or things that are meaningful? Most of what we spend our time looking at is things that are seen, where actually we need to tune our spirits to see the things that are unseen with our natural eyes, but our spirits can engage. We look at the unseen with the eyes of our heart, our imagination. That's how we look at the unseen. Now, this is scripture. Hebrews 5:14. Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have trained their senses to discern good and evil, soul and spirit. So we have to practice to train. Just like you learn everything you've done in life by practicing, you have to learn to do all the things in the spiritual realm by practicing. You just have to tune in, practice over again, so that you learn how to do it. Most people in the sort of charismatic type churches want everyone to lay hands on them so they'll do it. Doesn't work that way. This is a relationship. You can't get a relationship through laying on hands. No, I believe in impartation of stuff, but I believe you can impart a seed to people. Whether people will cultivate that seed, water it, look after it, weed it, make sure it's got plenty of food, light, walk in the light, all that stuff, the seed will grow. But I can't give you my anointing and everything I've done because you've not paid the cost. You know, I had to pay the cost for where I am. You know, it's taken me years and years and years, as I shared last night. And I can speed that process up for others by sharing and encouraging my testimony. But if you want to live this way, you have to go through it yourself. You have to learn how to do it. So you need to practice. Desire, discipline, delight. We love the desire. We love the delight. We hate the discipline. Now, I am a very disciplined person because I've taught myself to be. Because I know the value of discipline. I'm very tenacious. If I want, I go after something, you know, and I'll go after it until I've got it. Not everyone's like that, but you can develop that. If you develop the desire enough, you'll be willing to pay the cost. And I've got a whole teaching on how to develop the desires of your heart in alignment with God so that you'll pay the cost, whatever it is. But it's... So the purpose of this really is so we can fulfill our destinies. You know, we're called to be a royal priesthood. The royal priesthood operates on the other side of the veil, not this one. So we can be manifested as sons of God on the earth because we're living as sons of God in the realm of heaven. So we have to live a supernatural lifestyle. Then we become a gateway for that lifestyle to invade earth. You know, it's like heaven doesn't just invade earth. It flows through us. So we develop our ability to see and walk in the light. Then we can access the realms of heaven. And then we can develop that within the kingdom. We develop the kingdom in us, the rule of God, so that we can grow and move into it. Now, we need to be naturally supernatural. You know, supernatural isn't spooky. It's just who we are. We're spirit. You know, we are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. We just have to learn to embrace that and see from a heavenly spiritual perspective. To hear the voice of God and be led by the Spirit. I mean, is that not what we all want? So we need to learn to hear the voice of God. You know, and Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So this joins in. This is who we are as children of God. But that's outworked in being led by the Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit. So we can live in both realms. We live in the natural realm, but we're connected to the spiritual realm, and everything flows from one to the other. So we have to develop those spiritual senses, the gateways of our spirit, soul, and body, so we can see, hear, know, feel, perceive, and understand. Tuning in and developing what's happening all the time. The spiritual realm's operating all the time, whether we actually see it or not. We just have to look into it. So we have to learn how to open our eyes so that we can do it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I am now. Okay. So those things are visual, audio, intuitive, and impressions. So the gifts of the Spirit, we're very familiar with the gifts of the Spiit. Prophecy, knowledge, words of wisdom, discernment of spirits, and a lot of us have sort of trained ourselves to use that. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So to prophesy, you need to see and hear. Some prophets in the Old Testament were what were called babbling prophets. You know, they basically opened their mouth and a whole lot of stuff came out. You know, thus saith the Lord, if you read the King James Version. Or some were seers, so that they saw visions and then they described them. So they prophesied in different ways. In the New Testament, it's all put together as prophesying. And some people do it more vocally in an audible way, and some people do it by describing pictures and visions. So there are four stages of experience. Faith engagement, using words and actions. So we begin to engage by faith, we enter into the word, and we start to step in. Visions, snapshot pictures, moving pictures, usually in the third person, that you're seeing something. But then there's visitations. And this is what I was describing last night in many of my encounters in heaven. They're visitations. I am in the first person stepping in. Now, sometimes that involves trances or translations and being moved around in the spirit and those sorts of things. Sometimes it's just now I've learned to tune into it in my spirit, so I'm aware. So you can't go around being in a trance, can you, all the time? It'd be very difficult driving up the road or doing stuff. You know, so sometimes those are experiences that break us through into something new, but they don't happen all the time. And we shouldn't really be trying to induce that, because that's the other side. You know, we don't want any of that. But ultimately, we want to be habitations, living in that realm, connected to this realm, flowing from one to the other all the time. You know, I find myself, you know, I meet people all over the world online, and I'm engaging with them. Sometimes they ask me questions that I don't know the answer, quite often. Now, you know, sometimes I say, I don't know the answer, but I'll go and find out. And I'll draw from heaven, and I'll give them an answer to something I didn't know, cognitively. But my spirit knows, because my spirit's connected to the realm of revelation. You know, and I do this all the time. You know, and sometimes I listen back, or I make little notes, and I think, that sounded really good. I must remember to go back and listen to that again. You know, because I didn't know it until I went back and explored it. John 3:13, this is in the Amplified Version, says, no one ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven, dwells, has his home in heaven. First person, continuous tense there, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus saying, I've come down from heaven, but I'm still there. Now, talking to you. Because he was able to see what the Father was doing continually, because he learned to access that realm and live in this realm. And that's how he did most of the things he did. So, what I'm going to do, we're going to do some exercises and just a little practicing to build up how you do this. Now, some of you will find this is really easy, and if you do, just go off wherever God wants to take you and have some fun. You know, for those who have not done it before or have not really tuned in to hear, then just go with it and we'll do it. But they're exercises. They're not the lifestyle. They're things that help us practice, develop the lifestyle. And I describe it usually as scaffolding. You know, you put scaffolding up to build a house. Second floor, put the roof on. As soon as the house is complete, you don't leave the scaffolding up, do you? You take it down, and then you live in the house. So we need to practice tuning in and developing our senses so that we can live by them. But you have to practice and exercise them so that they grow and develop, like everything else. You know, if you want strong muscles, you know, you have to go in the gym and you have to push big weights, bigger weights, so that they stretch the muscles, they stretch, break, reform bigger and stronger. You know, everyone wants to do it easy. I mean, probably everyone in their cupboards and things have got all the things they bought on some shopping channel that said they were going to get fit really easily by doing nothing much. You know. I mean, I did some when I was a kid. It was like, well, yeah, push this thing and you'll get this stuff. Never worked. You know, a friend of mine, he wanted a six-pack, and he heard this thing that you can put these electrodes on your tummy, and when you're watching TV, they just things, and you get this massive six-pack. You know, it's in the cupboard. Never worked. You have to put in the effort if you're going to get the results. Practice to grow. So we build our senses, training, spiritual development, growing. You know, we have to open the eyes of our spirit, soul, and body gates. We have to open them, you know, by getting things to flow through them. So some of the soul gates that I showed you that picture get blocked. So your imagination could be very much confused by a load of images you've seen. And the enemy loves to bring negative images into our mind to pollute things, often at the most inappropriate moments. You can cleanse those images. You know, if you want your imagination to be sharp and crystal clear so you can see things on it, make sure it's not filled up with junk. So you do that, you know, I did this for, you know, this is where I went through every year of my life, looking at each door, but I look at my imagination, show me what images I've seen that will negatively affect being able to see in the spirit. And then every image that came and was brought up before me, I took the paintbrush in the spirit with the blood of Jesus and I painted it out. Because someone taught me that was a good way to do it. And it worked. Now, I have no recollection of those images at all. They completely were expunged from my memory. Not there at all. And I've done that with so many things, because those things will be a hindrance. Because we want to have the capacity to see in the realm of the spirit, which is needing to have a pure heart. So if we've got impure things in our heart, then they're going to block it. So we have to be open for a flow, so we can activate our imaginations. Now, some people will tell you it's not right to activate your imagination. You have to let God do it. Well, whose imagination is it? Ours. So why shouldn't we use it? I daydream all the time. I love daydreaming. What I'm doing is I'm fixing my eyes on something in the spirit realm that God is wanting me to do, and I'm envisioning it. How is this going to work out? What's it going to look like? And I picture it, and I begin to see it. Isn't that why God said to Abraham, look at the stars of the sky? Or look at the sand. There, your children are going to be like that. Every time he looked up at the night sky, it was like, wow, my children are going to be like this. Every time he looked, he lived near a desert area and all that stuff. He saw sand all the time. Every time he looked at it, there was this, wow. We need to begin to activate seeing so that we can get that, yeah, that belongs to me. That's my inheritance. Now I'm going to receive it. So it's learning to actually see. Hebrews 5:14, practice. Train our senses, our soul senses, our spirit senses, train them to flow. So this is where this desire, discipline, delight comes in. Okay, so singing and speaking in tongues is a really key part of activating and developing our spiritual senses. It's the language of our spirit. As we learn to do that, it says it edifies us, it builds us up. So I'm praying in tongues all the time. I'm praying in tongues right now. You can't hear me because I'm not actually doing it through my mouth. I'm also not doing it through my mind, because you can pray in tongues in your mind. I'm actually doing it in my spirit. So my spirit is bubbling around, activating now, because I've taught myself to do it. Now, I can't go into all the practice of that now, but it's really important to use the language of the Spirit, because it draws revelation and opens up the door. So that language is vibrating at a frequency that connects up with heaven and the spiritual realm. And it draws us to connect with it. So when don't think tongues is just, oh, well, I do it a little bit. I pray in tongues all the time. You know, when I first, God said to enter into these realms, he said pray in tongues an hour every morning. You know, and I used to do it. And when I first started, I was like, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. You know, and I was trying not to think of anything because I didn't want to get in the way of praying in tongues. And all these thoughts were coming into my mind and I was rebuking them because I want to pray in tongues. And actually then it was like God said, you're not listening to what I'm saying. You're activating the senses to listen and you're rebuking the things I'm trying to tell you. So it was like, ah. Oh. Now I get a lot of those moments. It's like, ah. I call them Homer Simpson moments. Doh. Yeah. So you can speak in tongues out loud. You can speak in tongues in your mind. You can also speak in tongues continuously in your spirit. You just have to practice tuning in and engaging, but it will help in this whole process. Isaiah 40, 31, those who wait on the Lord shall change and renew their strength and power. We have to develop waiting in the presence. Some people call it soaking. You know, that sense of just being in the presence of God. You know, Brother Lawrence wrote a book about practicing the presence of God. Just centering your thoughts on him all the time. Focusing. And that's what it's about. Focusing. Be still and know that I'm God. We have to be still doing a whole lot of other activity so that we can focus. And then we can know. And it's really important that you understand what the word know means. Because it doesn't mean what we understand it in the Western world, which is intellectual knowledge or information. Only by personal revelation and experience can you know anything in a biblical sense. You have to experience it to have a testimony of it. You can't have a testimony that you've never experienced. So hearing something or seeing something that someone else says is only a provocation for you to get it yourself. But until you've experienced it, you can't say you know. You know, I don't know the president of the USA, personally. I've seen him on the TV, and I could probably Google him and find in Wikipedia a whole lot of stuff about his life. But it wouldn't make me know him from a biblical perspective. I'd have to go and meet him, talk to him. Then I could say, oh, I know your president. You know, same with our queen. You know, I don't actually know her, although I know a fair bit about her. God doesn't want us to know about him. He actually wants us to know him. Psalm 46:10, same thing in another version, says, cease striving. Let be and be still and know that I'm God. So when we enter into these encounters, don't try and figure it out. If you strive to try and, I'm trying to see. You know, it's like it never work. You'll just get tense and it'll sing up. Because when you engage in these sort of meditative things, you know, why do they say relax? Chill out. Because what happens when you relax and when you close your eyes, your brain slows down, goes from beta waves, which are the I need to figure everything out and know what I'm doing, to alpha waves, which are slower, and that tunes in to the right side of your brain, which is the creative part. And the right side of your brain being creative, actually more blood flows to the right side of your brain when your eyes are closed and when you're relaxed. More blood flows to the left side of your brain when you need to figure something out and work something out in a cognitive way. So it's just even a physiological thing. If you relax, it's much easier. Now, when you say relax, 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 obviously you get pressure. How do I relax? Yeah. But what I tend to do to relax is I close my eyes. I sort of make sure my body's not tense. And then I choose to think of him. I fix my eyes on Jesus. You don't empty your head. That's the wrong sort of meditation. Because who knows what will fill your head if you empty it. If you start thinking about what you're going to be looking at, which is God or a biblical picture or a biblical story, whatever it might be, then you can allow the Spirit of God will begin to bring the thoughts of God into your mind or the pictures of God into your mind, and you can begin to activate seeing because you'll begin to focus. Now, we can all use our imaginations, all of us. People say, well, I can't use it. Well, so we'll close your eyes and picture your front door. Well, you may see it. Those who are tuned in see it. Wow, yeah, it's like I'm there. Some get an impression. Some just know what it looks like, but you tune in. Now, so it's really important to begin to do that. Now, that's a picture of Jesus who I've seen like that. You know, that was the picture that Akiana painted. because she's been into heaven and she's Jesus. She calls him the Prince of Peace. That's the picture that the little boy in the film Heaven is Real saw. So if you want to know what to fix your eyes on, then just get an image. Because sometimes a natural image will help access the supernatural, because we've got a doorway through it. So it's like, so, well, I say to you, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You're like, how do I do that? Well, get an image. You may have your own picture of Jesus, how you see him. Use that. Use that to focus and get your mind active. So I'm going to encourage you right now just to relax. We're going to start to just do some exercises. So close your eyes and start to think about Jesus. You can use that picture or your own picture. And then just begin to pray in tongues. You can pray in tongues out loud. You can pray in tongues in your mind, whatever you want to do. Just to begin to tune out everything around you and relax. And start thinking about Jesus, which is always the best place to start anything, is thinking about Jesus. So let's just spend just a couple of minutes doing that. Thank you, Lord God. Just bless you, Lord God. Now just stay in that place of relaxation, and we're just going to use the scripture. And this scripture is a really familiar one. And as I do it, I'm just going to give you an example of what I do when I begin to meditate on a scripture. This is my journey of how I learned to get here. I began to speak each word slowly out loud, and I then allowed the thoughts of God just to begin to fill my mind with revelation about what I was reading and what I was speaking. And so God would help you do that. Be still and know that I am God. 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 Be. 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 Be still and know that I am God. Be still. 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 Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. 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 Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. I am. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. in those sort of exercises, you just allow all your senses to be open. You may feel, you may sense. And what is it to feel the love of God? What is it to sense that? And what is it to know? I can just be. To know that God is the I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. And those thoughts can just fill your mind, and then you can enter into each of those thoughts. You know, I am the door. You can step through that door. You can go into him because you're in him. You can experience him deeper and deeper and deeper. So as you just learn to meditate in the word like that, then you can begin to hear the thoughts of God, and then you can begin to enter into those thoughts and talk to God as you learn to listen to his voice. My sheep hear my voice. All of us can hear the very voice of God. So we can go from meditation by visualizing to visualizing things just from hearing. And again, while you're doing it, just activate your spirit by praying in tongues as you're doing it. You know, I use tongues all the time in all these exercises, so I'd encourage you to do the same. You know, don't empty your mind, but fill it. So we can activate our imagination, the eyes of our heart. We need to open them. You can't see anything unless you open it. You know, if your eyes are shut, you can't see naturally. Same in the spirit. If your eyes of your heart aren't open, you can't see. So I want you to keep your eyes closed and now just think about an object or a place or a person and begin to picture it. So whatever comes into your mind, just think about it and then picture it. So if you can't think of anything, think of your front door or a river. So you can use those natural objects to become the doorway that you can step through. So whether you're picturing the Word of God or a verse in the Word of God, it just becomes a doorway so you can access it, and then you can begin to step through it. And I would encourage you, when you're practicing this, use images that have a spiritual significance, like a river, because we know we're going to get into the river of life. So think of a river. Picture a river. Step into a river. A door. We know we can step through the door. We need to open a door. So you picture a door. Think of the door handle. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to open the door handle. So it just creates an opportunity within your own mind to do it. So you can practice that, and that's something you can continue to practice, and it all that works in that. So I want to do an exercise with you where we're going to walk into a picture, and I want to encourage you to picture a beach. This was the first engagement I had in this sort of way. If you don't live near a beach, we probably don't hear. There's a picture of a beach up on the screen. If you need a quick snapshot of what a beach might look like, rather idyllic one, you can picture that, and then just relax, just close your eyes. As you picture that beach, just picture yourself walking towards it. You may really see this, or just by faith, just engage that you're walking towards a beach. It's a warm and sunny day. The deep blue sea is just shimmering in the distance. There's a gentle breeze just blowing through your hair. Just kick off your shoes. And just feel the sand beneath your feet. Just look out to the sea and just begin to walk slowly across the sand
towards the water. And as you head to the water's edge, just begin to put your feet in the cooling water. Just feel the waves just lapping against your feet. Cool, refreshing water. As you look along the beach, there's someone walking towards you. And as he gets closer to you, you know this is Jesus. And Jesus walks up to you, just stands with you, paddling in the water. Just sense his presence, you sense his peace, his gentle spirit. Just feel that peace just coming over you. And Jesus just places his hand reassuringly on your shoulder. And he looks deep into your eyes. And you feel the depth of his love and compassion for you. His love just overflowing and overwhelming you. You sense how valuable you are to him. How special you are. And as he's looking into your eyes, he's looking deep into your soul. And he just asks you, how are you? How are you really doing? Because you feel so safe, so secure, feel free just to let all those burdens, all those deep things that you may be carrying that no one else knows, all those insecurities or fears, just let them go. Just hand them all over to him. All the deepest longings of your heart, those deep desires that maybe no one knows, he knows. It just unlocks the deepest recesses of your soul. Just sense the joy and the peace that flows from him. He kneels down before you, and slowly in the sand, he purposefully draws a picture or words. Look down and see what he's written. Just start to reflect. Let what he's written just touch you, touch your heart. You may see, or you may just know, but just let the revelation of who he is and what he wants you to know right now just go deep within. Just let it penetrate you. A truth. Jesus, the truth. Revealing his truth to you right now. Time to go, and you look into his eyes again, slowly turning back to the beach. It's a strong feeling of his presence with you as you just walk back. You hear his words as you're going, whispering gently to you. Many of you may have done nothing like that before, but you need to practice, find your own scenes, engage with Jesus. You can use a biblical scene to enter into and to experience. So the word becomes a visual doorway for you to step into the experience of it. We can use passages that talk about heavenly realms and Revelation 5 and 4 and, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You can use the Psalm 23, you know, as a doorway to encounter. So what I encourage you to do, we're going to just do another exercise and go into a biblical picture. So close you to, again, shut your eyes and think about a door and just think about its color, its size, its shape, its handle, and just picture it in your mind. And just see yourself, you're standing in front of this door. And just reach out to the door handle, open the handle, and as you walk through, you're walking into a green pasture with quiet waters just running. So just walk through that door and enter that biblical picture and just lie down in that green pasture beside that quiet water and see Jesus as your shepherd. Just come and sit next to you. Now just start to talk to him. In your mind, just let a thought become a question, something you want to share with him. Start to fellowship with him as you peacefully lie in a place of rest where he begins to restore your soul, to make you whole, to bring healing and wholeness, to affirm you in who you are, your identity, affirming you. You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You are my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. So just listen to him as he speaks to you. Just stay in that relaxed place. Just quickly do another little exercise. You know, Jesus was sitting with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him and said, "Tell us." So just picture that. Again, if you need to see a picture on a screen to help you, there's one there. Just picture yourself sitting with Jesus, with his disciples. Jesus is talking to them, sharing things with them, inspiring them, and you're there with them, listening. And I just see Jesus talking to you, and you talking to him. as you practice this, some of you might find it easier than others, the Word of God becomes living and active as we learn to experience it by encounter. All our senses can access that realm, can sense His peace and His healing, His thoughts, His emotions. We can just touch them. So we can just learn always to come from that place of rest. As we living and actively engage with Him. He's not distant. He's right with us. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Loads and loads of exercises like that, but we'll stop there and take a break for lunch. Okay.